Well, we're in for a special treat this morning, a unique service, as we're going to be hearing from our Togo team. And so I'm going to turn it over to them. Who's going to go first? We have Matt and Ron here. Oh, we have a video we want to share. Okay. So we'll just turn our attention to the screen for a moment.
Hi, Church. Welcome to the Team Togo update for a November missions trip. Thanks to the elders for letting Team Togo give you this update today. Unfortunately, I can't be with the team at Ridgecrest on Facebook Live. So, but the cool thing is, Tara and I are coming to you live from Zoom. I'm in Denver, Colorado right now on my way to Nebraska, which where I'll be for Sunday. And Tara, you get to say hi.
Hi, Church. It's so good to see you guys. I'll be virtually. But fun fact, I'm actually coming home for a few weeks in February. So real soon, I will get to see you guys all in person. But thanks so much for giving us the time to talk to you guys today.
So the way we're going to do this, Church, is we're going to share our screen for presentation. Tara and I will talk through our slides, and then we'll hand over to Matt and Ron closer to you, but still digitally at the church and Facebook Live. So, Tara, why don't you go ahead and share, and we'll kick off our update.
All right. So, here's just, whoop, there we go, kicking off the update. Togo 2020.
That's the team. We basically had two groups, Tara and I first, and then Ron and Matt basically were 2 weeks backed up to each other. The day I left, Ron and Matt flew into Togo like 2 days later. Next slide, please. Why in this Togo world did we, in COVID world, did we go in November and did Emmanuel Baptist Church send a team? Well, reality, Church, the trip was actually planned for 2 years. We bought tickets a year ago. For Matt and Ron, got great deals on them for $700, a third of what we have paid. So the trip was planned, and we basically gave it over to the Lord. God, if you open the doors for us to go, we're still willing to go in November. We make a trip, as you know, every 1 to 2 years. And all we can say is God wanted us there. It was perfect God timing. God opened the doors just in the right time. And, you know, it was basically just a real test for us personally with our faith and obedience to go. Tara, do you have anything to add to that? Tara's in charge of comings and goings, so she knew I was bugging her the whole summer to get there.
Yeah, it was just a great God timing for everybody to come. In order to get to and from Togo, you need to take a total of 3 negative COVID tests. So thanks to those who did come out. Thanks so much for the support behind the trip. It was just great to see people from back home and feel your guys' love and support. So thanks for hanging with us.
So we're going to open with Scripture today, Church, to Psalm 91, 1 through 6. And I'll go ahead and read that one, Psalm 91, 1 through 6. And then Tara is going to open us in prayer and kick this update off. So Psalm 91, 1 through 6. We've all read this a bunch. The title is My Refuge, My Fortress. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Now, Church, I know during the pandemic year we've all been feeling this, but throw in a trip to West Africa with all the travel and everything on top of it, and these verses really come to life, and you really have to give this over to the Lord. Tara, would you like to open us in prayer?
Yep, let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you so much for this time that we have to gather together and just worship you. God, we thank you for the technology that allows us to be in different parts of the world, different parts of the country, and still be able to gather under one body of Christ, God, that you are big enough for that. Thank you for Emmanuel Baptist and their heart for missions and their heart for you. God, I pray that you be with our time together. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. So us in the United States, we're first world, we're used to the modern amenities, we're used to getting things our way, and we're used to having answers. And Tara's a steely-eyed third world missionary, and so she never gets tested in anything. So next slide, Tara, tell us how the arrival, I was the first to arrive, Tara greeted me, and right away we had a kind of a spiritual attack. Tell us about Dr. Carroll, Tara.
Yeah, so on your screen you can see a picture of she's one of the short-term doctors who came, actually. So Togo just recently reopened their airport again and let people in. In order to come into Togo, you have to take 2 negative COVID tests before you leave and then 1 after you get here. So everyone who's come in has tested negative at least 2 times. Carol is an OBGYN who's actually living in France, and she came to serve at our hospital for about 2.5 weeks. Through a series of events, her flights got changed, and so we ended up riding 8 hours in a car together for me to go pick up my dad. We got down there. She was flying out the next day, took her COVID test, and Dad and I were coming back up in the – it's an 8-hour trip back up to Mongo from the capital – and all of a sudden, I get a text from Carol saying, I just tested positive for COVID. And it was like, oh, man, this is our first case, like, in Mongo. Not first case in Mongo, but really one of the bigger first cases. But she was in Lome. We're just, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for her? She really was just a true pioneer. But let me tell you, church, God was so good in that entire situation. A, Carol is originally, she spent 18 years as a missionary in Cameroon, experienced so many just crazy stories in Cameroon. Now she's living in France, and just was like so positive the entire time, and it helps that she really didn't feel bad physically at all, but so positive the entire time and was like, Tara, I just feel bad for you with your dad visiting. I hope that you guys can still, like, you know, do things. And that was a God thing, too. I felt for sure that they were going to put me in a room somewhere and say, stay there for 2 weeks. You were a direct contact. You spent 8 hours in a car with her the day before she was positive. Like, and I looked at Dad and said, well, we're hunkering down together, Dad. You're in this with me. But we ended up just having, they identified 9 other people who were considered contacts. We just had to wear N95 masks at all times whenever we were around people, but they let us go about our lives, which was a huge blessing, just huge God thing. And a big praise at the end of it is all 10 of us tested negative 2 times. So we were all, and that we take a test after 7 days and after 14 days. So that was just a huge praise. Carol, we got to see her actually when we were taking my dad back down to Lome. Still remained upbeat, obviously wanted to go home, but just a great witness to everyone she came in contact with, how faithful God was in this situation, even though things did not go her way.
Okay, next slide, please. So why did we call her modern-day Ethel Bell? Well, Carol gave me this book to read called Perils of the Sea. And it was about a single missionary mom with her 2 kids who was during World War II, they from Ghana, which is right next to Togo, they called a trip back because Germany was raging through Africa. And they were going back to the United States in this freighter, and it was actually torpedoed at 2:00 in the afternoon by a German submarine with 2 torpedoes. The ship sank in less than 2 minutes. And 44 people actually got off the boat, but they couldn't lower the lifeboats in them. And so they just had these emergency life rafts that basically were that survivors swam to. 44 made it to those rafts, but only 18 ended up surviving. And Ethel Bell, her two kids, and two other missionary kids made it to that raft. That was the most crowded one. There's a picture of it. There were actually 20 people made it to that raft. Two died over the next 19 days. And Ethel Bell and those four children survived. And they survived by Ethel's just extreme faith. Everyone in the raft basically gave her, you know, and God all the credit for just lifting their spirits, quoting scripture, reading scripture daily, and the daily prayers to God during these dire circumstances. And church, the reason I'm bringing this up is it really put things in perspective of where, you know, in the West, we think, oh, you know, these minor inconveniences, we might have to be quarantined, we might have to go get another COVID test, we might be sick in the hospital. I mean, imagine what she went through. And I highly recommend reading Perils of the Sea. It really gives you good perspective. We're going to be quoting some of the scripture that missionary Ethel Bell and her children read while they were in the raft. Next slide, and Terry can go over our itinerary for our outline for the brief today.
Yeah, so why do we send teams to Togo, 7,000 miles? A big reason is mule services. You guys are the Pony Express, especially with COVID. Getting supplies out has been really hard. And between my dad and Matt and Ron, I think there was like 400 pounds of like supplies that got brought out for the hospital, for personal things. I know the church brought out some birthday cards for me. That just, all of that just helps us be in the Harris's, feel so loved and supported from you guys, and the hospital itself, to be able to continue functioning and performing different services. So that is a huge, 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 actually major role that especially volunteers now fulfill. As a lot of you probably know, pretty much ever since the Harris's have started these trips, we've been partnering with local pastors in a city called Cara. And so I've known them ever since 2009. I think my dad has known them ever since his first trip in 2006. We got to meet up with them for a lunch on our way down. Just great to see how God is growing their ministries since we've known them in these past 20 odd years. To support them, see what their needs are, hear what they're going through, just keep those relationships going. As far as ministry in Mongo, that's a big part as well. There's always small village groups that everyone is involved with. Village Kids Sunday School, as a matter of fact, just with COVID, when the first Sunday that my dad was able to go to a village was actually the first Sunday that we could have a children's program again. Togo had just cleared churches to reopen. What a God thing is that. Even though they had opened the airport, restrictions were loosening, we still had major limitations on churches. But the week before he came, Togo was like, all right, wear a mask, everybody. Wash your hands. You know, try and be safe. So it was awesome for us to be able to do a kids program again for those village kids out in Nachare. We got to do a VBS with some of the MK kids. We'll talk about that a little later. The sewing school that a lot of you have been a part of, just support them. And just local visitations with different people we have here. Just key relationship building. It's really fun to see when people see people that they recognize. They just get so excited. I mean, you guys know when you see someone you haven't seen for a while. It's just awesome to see those relationships that this team has built, especially since they've been so many times. So that's the more relational ministry side of things. Then we do have the practical and also needed just maintenance side of things. All three guys helped Garen dig through wells, dig through attics, work on computers, work on motos, just practical needs that are just so helpful. Security cameras. I think my dad replaced a light bulb for us. So just little things that seem small but are just so helpful in the long run.
Okay, well, and Pastor Bill, I just wanted to take note that it's not me who's using pastoral minutes. It's Sarah, so.
Small-winded.
Thanksgiving, and yes. So the cool thing about mission trips is we get to do daily devotions and really spiritually ground ourselves for the field corporately. It's just with believers. You know, it was great doing it with Tara and Garen, and Matt and Ron will have their own experience to share with too. And Garen led out the first day, and this was just kind of his heart and back to the trouble that the church has gone to get us there, just as a way of letting you know how much it means to him for us to be there. Philippians 1:3-11, and I'll read that. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I told you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Well, obviously, Garen isn't in prison, but his heart still resonates with that message that Paul wrote while in prison. Tara can probably say, yeah, with the separation from family and friends in Africa, sometimes it might feel the remoteness is a little bit like prison. But it was just Garen's heart and Susan's heart just to thank us for our love, our prayers, our practical gifts. I mean, they asked for things like four iPhones, and the church just graciously supplied that. When they were here, they asked for money for their well water ministry, and the church graciously supplied that. When the power went out of the hospital, the church graciously supplied that. And, you know, we're all not cut out to be missionaries, but we each have our own means to support. Same with Team Togo. I mean, through the many fundraisers that we did and just cash donations, Garen just thanks you. Garen and Susan, thanks you. And Team Togo, thanks you, too. You know, we're the adventurers. We love to go. And we just love to be in partnership with a mission-oriented church who will send us to the far reaches of the earth. Next slide, please. And that is Tara. Tara, what were you doing there?
I was doing my Bible study, women's Bible study. On the beach, taking my dad to Lomé.
You can go back that little. Yeah, that was towards the end of the trip. And just wanted to say that it wasn't all drudgery. We did have some good time, and this was during the quarantine period that we had to wait to see what our COVID tests were like. But this was this was one of our first, you know, ministry days. Tara, kind of explain what's going on there.
Yeah, so I talked about this a little bit in the intro, just missionary kid VBS. How many of you guys, raise your hand, your houses, how many of you kids have attended VBS? How many of you adults have attended VBS? I definitely did. And so these missionary kids, it's fun for them to have some of the same experiences that we get to have. So Dad brought out a American Ninja Warrior ropes course, that he got to use for object lessons with the kids. One of the kids is doing sometimes the Christian walk can be difficult with obstacles, but you gotta keep God at the center of your life. So it was fun doing that with the kids, and we also got to take it to one of the villages. That was also really fun. I was a little worried about how it was going to work out. Oh my goodness, the kids loved it. They were so well behaved, and they picked up on it real quick. It was great to see the little guys helping, the big guys helping the little guys. Just a fun way for the kids to do something different in the village. They've never seen something like that. And even the missionary kids all had a great time with that.
Outstanding. And next slide, please, Tara. This next slide, church, is going to be just a work day. And I put this, I was climbing in the attic of the hospital. We were adding some cable that day. I challenged Ron and Matt to give a dirtier picture since they're more, I'm normally the child, you know, and the fun guy, and they're normally the hardworking crowd. So Gary and I were kind of grubbing around in the attic that day, and you know, it wasn't the dirt that was annoying. It was all the cobwebs that would get in your eyes, in your hair, in your ears that was really annoying. And then that just, you know, church, I know you want me to check up on Tara. That's the main reason I went. I did spot checks throughout the day to make sure she was at her desk in her office. That window there to her left is like a major hallway. That window is like the social hub of the hospital. I cannot believe how many people just sitting there, Tara, will stop at that window and talk to her and say, hey, what's going on? You know, how's the day going? And catch up on all the local stuff happening at the hospital. Not gossip, though. Local information. Next slide, please. And Tara, quickly tell what you, this is a great surprise that Tara had. What did you have going this evening for us?
So I realized, this is a photo of one of the head nurses at our hospital who's a good friend of ours. He's a strong Christian man. He's the leader of one of the church groups in one of the villages that I attend. Just great godly guy, great godly family. And I realized that my dad, for all the adventures that we've been on, he's never been invited into somebody's home to have a traditional Togolese meal in somebody's home with them. And I was just like, how out of all of these trips has not happened? And Dad knows him. Let's see if we can make this happen. So Gary and Susan, Dad and I were invited over to his house to make a traditional African dish called fufu. It's cassava root is actually what it is. They call them yams here, but they're the yams that we know in the States. It's cassava root, actually, that they pound in this pestle here. Don't be fooled. This picture was taken immediately after this picture. Yalvi says, oof, Tara, oof, my turn again. Just great hospitality, great love. There's a photo of my dad pounding the fufu too. I don't know if he lasted any longer than I did, but just great.
A lot.
Great, a time of fellowship and getting to feel hosted in someone's house. So his wife prepared this wonderful sauce for us. Just a great time of fellowship that evening.
Next slide, please. Both teams got to go, you see this next slide, both teams got to go out to this Joel's village and his tribe. And this was, once again, just opening back up for COVID. And it was just great to ride the motos out into the Africa outback. And that particular day, we actually rode through this major Togolese riot and road blockage that, because they were protesting, the road hadn't been repaired in like 3 years. And just to show you, it sometimes, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Tara had said that they were actually starting to repair that road now.
It's
a great time at the village and to make connections with Joel, who we've worked through before. What's that, Tara?
A world of difference. What used to take an hour to get out to that village now takes 20 minutes. The road is almost completely fixed.
Wow. And that was a long way. That's amazing. Next slide. And Terry, you can tell us about your music program. Terry just had, and I think Emmanuel's done this, the same music Christmas program. What's the name of it again, Tara?
It was called Sheep in Heavenly Peace. Thank you, Allison, for the recommendation. Just such a cute performance. The kids did so well, and Dad actually got to help with this practice. He was one of the little kids, a placeholder for a kid who was missing. So that was just great to be able to share that with him as well.
Yes, it was the smallest kid in the front row, and I got to go around on my knees for 15 minutes, which was awesome. last slide here, and Tara can wrap it up with actually, there's one more slide after this. This was a quick picture of our current pastors. There are four of them there. There's Pastor Boudely, Pastor John, Pastor Pierre with his son on Tara's left, who had some really neat presents for Tara and wanted to wish her a great happy birthday. And then Pastor Barry, who we've known since the first time I went. Church, once again, we partner with these pastors. Pastor John is building a church, and through Team Togo funds, I was able to have some funds that we had appropriate for the trip to actually put a roof on the church that John's building Pastor John's building in a village. So great partnership with between American and African churches, and it's all from your prayers and willingness to support this effort. And last slide, scripture and goodbye.
Psalm 46.
All on you, Tara.
All right. So Psalm 46 says, God is our fortress. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks a bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots of fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So, church, just how true is that? There are so many things going on now, which is just so crazy. I know COVID is probably a small part of what's happening in everybody's life. There's other things that this world just throws at us, but God is our fortress. Be still and know that he is God. So that's kind of that's what I was working on when I was studying 1 Peter, which talks about when trials come, God will be with us. You know, just we did want to encourage you guys, even when it gets hard, Jesus went through the same thing that we're going through. He knows exactly what we're going through. God is orchestrating this. He makes the mountains tremble. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your support, for sending the teams out. Miss you guys a lot. Looking forward to seeing you guys soon, in about a month.
And church, I'll just add, you know, when we follow the Lord, adversity actually can turn to blessing. We were kind of bumming about the whole COVID test thing and what a pain it was to be for a mission trip, you know, and we had to go to Lomé 3 days prior. Well, for me, that was just 3 days that, you know, Tara was forced to spend one-on-one with me. Got to celebrate my birthday with her. We celebrated her birthday. We call her birthday month. With her, took her out to dinner at this great Indian restaurant in Lomé. just had some great father-daughter time in the beach. And we got to bless Carol, who was still there. She was there even when I left. And we could take her meals back and go fetch her medicines and things like that. She did quit shortly after I left because she mentioned two negative COVID tests to leave the country. So just thanks. I'll turn over to Ron and Matt now, and they can close us in prayer at the end of our presentation.
Bye.
Bye, church.
So we on now? All right. First off, I'd like to say thank you to everybody, our church family that supported us, that made donations to us for our fundraisers, financial donations, and especially through prayer. As if it weren't for the prayer, this trip would have been less than what turned out to be. There's a lot of anxiety and anxiousness developing as we got closer to this trip. As Fred said, we planned this trip late 2019, early 2020. We bought our tickets, got a great price compared to what we've paid for in the past. Then, March, April, COVID hit, and we weren't sure we were even going to be able to go. As the year went by, Togo closed their borders. They wouldn't let people in. Then once the borders opened, Matt and I got notification that they changed our itinerary. It went from a four-hour layover in Paris to a 24-hour layover. And so then we called the airline, talked to them. We were trying to decide whether we want to pay extra money to, change our itinerary. Had we not, we would have lost 2 days in Mongo. And as it turned out, we left 2 days earlier, and we actually gained time being in Mongo working. Then as we got closer, Matt had some health issues, so he wasn't even sure whether he would be able to go. And then the thought of flying and being exposed to everybody, both in the airplane, the airports, that in itself was, a risk that, we were questioning. And then up to the point of departure, like Tara said, it took two COVID tests before we even got to Mongo, one within 72 hours of leaving the States, and then once arriving, and both times, there was the concern about what if the tests come back negative, Part of that was just trying to find a place here in the States where we could get the test done, where we could get the results back within 72 hours. But, through research, I was able to find a place. We had the tests. They were negative. We went. And then we, being in an airport where we didn't speak French, and we had to go through immigrations and then get the COVID tests, because Garen and Susan are not able to come back to the arrival area where all this is taking place, and Matt and I are doing this all on our own. So that in itself was a chore, but we got through it. I think prayer once again came into play because everything just flowed, and we got through it without any issues. And through all this, what comes to mind was Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. And I will read that. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This verse covered all this here. Even though we were worried about it, we kept our trust in God, and we just went as planned, and it all came to fruition. Okay, next slide. You went one slide too far. Okay, this is our team. You know the four of us. That's Alessani. He is the one that Garen has hired him to do well work in the villages. In the past, Matt and I always, and Garen always went out to the villages. We worked on the pumps and, you know, did the water ministry. Well, Garen has hired Alessani to do that work. So he takes care of most of the work out in the villages. And what Garen reported to me was Alessani is a Muslim, but during his time and what he has worked for Garen, he asked Garen lots of questions. And so he has an open mind to hearing the word. And Garen said, you know, he just continues working with him and sharing the gospel, hoping that, you know, eventually he will come to know Christ. Next slide.
Good morning, folks. I'm Matt. We were doing Bible study in villages, and but back up a little. In 2018, we made a trip to Africa, and I met this gentleman named Joel. He's the gentleman with the blue face mask. And back then, Garen had spoken to him, and he accepted Christ, and he's on fire for the Lord. So when we left, I was just curious. It's always played in the back of my mind what was going to happen to him and how far he would take his ministry. Well, when we showed up this last trip, come to find out, he really took off with it. He has a Wednesday service, a Bible study service, there in Mongo, and then he also travels to villages via bicycle. Offered to get him a motorcycle, but he wanted his bicycle. But anyways, there's a child in the other gentleman's arms, and when we were there on this particular Bible study, this baby, it was a miracle. It's even here with us. I can't remember what it had, what the disease was or what it had, but it ended up at the hospital there in Lomé. They were able to get it cleared from whatever it had, and it was just, I don't have enough time to go through the whole story, but it's a miracle that this baby's here today. And so they brought the baby out when we had the Bible study, and it was just neat to see God's working. And they were praying for this child. Like I said, wasn't sure if it was going to make it. That's this slide. Do you have anything else on it?
No.
Next slide. And again, this is the same village, it's the same spot, just a further view. We travel most places on the motorcycles. They call them motos over there. It's a cheap and easier way to get around. This is one of the villages. This is just down the road from where Joel lives. Do you have anything else on this?
No. No, this is just one of the villages that the pastors there at the Abwe compound, the facility there, they travel out to the different villages, and Garen and Susan and Tara travel with them and you know, just supporting them. Next slide. Okay, in this village, or one of the villages that we attended that day, there was this young mother who had this baby and also two little boys. I'd say they were probably 6 or 7 years old, but she's blind, and these two boys lead her, and she walks every week to hear this Bible study. She walks about 2 miles each way, being led by her two little sons. And this is her baby that she carries on her back when she's headed to the village to hear the word. Next slide. All right, this is part of Tara's birthday celebration. Apparently, Tara and Ann both are fans of Tom Cruise. And when Fred used to work for the Navy, he was a safety officer. And he got to know Tom Cruise pretty well when he would fly here to China Lake to do some filming. And Fred happened to be on the set one day and got to meet Tom Cruise. So this was a gift to Tara in celebration of her birthday. Next slide.
Again, this is another village Bible study. We were doing these on Wednesdays. We'd cover 3 to 4 villages. And it's different because for the fact that when they do these Bible studies, it's spoken French, Fulani and Chosi. So you get 3 different translators there. So again, it's all French to us because we don't know much of the language, but it's interesting to watch these people as they're doing these Bible studies interact and listen to the people speaking. It's something you've never experienced before. It was interesting. It was good. While we're doing these Bible studies, you'll have these dogs, Basenji dogs roaming in and out. You'll have a goat or maybe even a herd of cattle come through while you're there. It's different. It's good, but it's just different to experience. And you have both young and old. Age varies in these villages, but it's a lot of the older folks that will come in. And it's amazing when they transfer from the Muslim belief to the Christianity. It's just amazing how much they're on fire for the Lord. And this is just one of the meetings that we attended on Wednesday. Next slide.
Okay, people always want to know about Thanksgiving when we go over there. Yeah, we were there during Thanksgiving. This is the team at the hospital. This is all the Abwe missionaries. And part of their celebration is they do a three-mile turkey trot. And I weren't planning to, but I got pulled into it by Susan. So, yes, I ran not the whole 3 miles, but I ran about half of it, and I could tell afterwards. It's been a long time since I ran.
And I watched it.
And then next slide. That evening they did their dinner. Everybody there prepares a dish and they bring it to the dining area there where they meet. They hold their services at. This is like a room, like our dining room here. They use it. It's a multifunction room. And the food was good.
Yeah, to say it was good. These dinners for Thanksgiving, this is my second time eating in Africa, and I'll tell you what, it's really good. When you get everyone there bringing their favorite dish, you get nothing but favorite dishes. It's really good. Next slide. Okay, I guess I got to do this one too. So this is Fulani. I'm saying it wrong. Safani.
Alasani.
Alasani. I'm horrible with African names. Forgive me. This is a pit that we're in, and the water systems that they have here is gravity fed, but they have 3 to 4 storage tanks. And so what was going on was the piping where it come into the building was down low, and they had the centrifugal pump, the pressure pump that builds up pressure to send it on down to the hospital and the buildings on this 60-acre compound that the hospital is on, was down in the pit. Well, it floods there, and it gets quite deep. So this motor would shut down, and they had, like, either no water or low water pressure. So one of the tasks was to take, what's his name?
Alasani.
And we worked together, a lot of hand signals, because he doesn't speak English, and I don't speak, I think he's Chukwusi or whatever, Fulani. So we, together, we had a mount, a bracket built. It's down near our feet. It's red in color. We lifted that pump up 14 inches and redirected the pipe, got it all in like 2 hours. We had to shut this down during a time frame because this water feeds the hospital, and hospital can't go down. So between the four of us, brains and manual labor, we did it. Worked out pretty good. Next slide, please.
And before we leave this slide, I forgot to point out to Fred that Matt and my jobs are more technical than his. Next slide.
Oh, yeah. I got to talk on this one. So I've never taken more data in my life on a well than this one. It was like 4 day collecting data. We had a well we replaced when we got there, a pump we replaced in a well. It was a shallow well, 300-footer, and we wanted to monitor the flow of water. We thought we may have damaged it in the beginning due to some miscommunication. So when it was all said and done, it wasn't damaged. But what we would do is Ron was the data collector, the guy in the red flowered shirt, and Garen is holding a bucket down there, and we time how long it takes to fill this bucket. Now, this is high-tech technical work in a redneck field, I guess you could say. So it was funny because people are asking, what's up with the corn? Why is there so much corn? Well, the farmer there,
Timothy,
he would dry the corn and sell it or use it later. And so that's why you're seeing all that corn on top of there. But this is one of the tanks, and there's behind Ron, you can see some pillars going up. And up about 30 feet is another, I think there's 7,500 gallons. There's either 7,500 or 10,000 gallon tanks, and they're gravity feed. So they pump the water up and then let the gravity feed it on down to the hospital. But to the north of him, I'd be off to Ron's left-hand side, is another big tank. So they had like three big tanks. And when we went the first time, I remember we went to the hospital in 18, they were using 8,500 gallons a day, and that fed the compound, both the houses, the work buildings, and the hospital. When we returned back this last trip, they're up 10,000 gallons a day. So what they're trying to do now is we went out and scouted an area. It would be to the west, and there's a military compound, and we're contemplating putting in another 1,000-foot well on the military grounds if we can get the permission. So it's like Ron and I might be going back this year possibly to put in, or the first of next year, to put in the water line. Without water, you're dead. You're dead there. You can't function. The hospital, the compound, it just won't function. So they're looking for another source of water. The city water, again, we're a third world country. The water is up and down. Out of the 5 or 8 days that we were in Mongo, 4 of them I took bucket showers, where you literally dip into a bucket of water, lather up, and wet yourself down. It's just the water's on and off. It's not reliable. Same thing with electricity. You may have electricity and you may not. So again, we're trying to get another well punched to get more self-reliant on the hospital's grounds rather than relying on the city water. You have anything, Ron?
Just that the outcome of these measurements, Aaron said, is about 2,000 gallons a day is what we came up with all the measuring here. So.
Also, there is one more deep well. It's a 1,000-foot well, and we were getting water in it. We weren't able to complete what we wanted to do in that task, but this was supposed to be the well to feed the whole compound. But as we found out, even the fractures down below, it's not fracked enough to where they can sustain the water demand for the hospital. So, again, it's a 1,000-foot well. It would have been really neat if it would sustain the compound, but being it doesn't, we're searching for more water. Next slide, please.
They're always in a need of blood there. So whenever we go, we always donate blood. And Matt heard that they give you a Coca-Cola afterwards, so he ran over there to make sure he gave blood that day.
Okay, let me tell you a true story about this. So I told Garen by mistake that I'm O negative, and O negative is a universal blood. Anyone can take it. So we're sitting at the Thanksgiving dinner, and lo and behold, one of the doctors comes in and says they have a person in the hospital that's in need of blood bad. It's O positive or O negative. I'm sorry, A positive or A negative. So two people stepped up. Garen pointed to me. So I got donated to go in and give blood. And last time I did it, I don't know what I did wrong, but I didn't feel good. But this time, maybe it was knowing I was going to get a Coca-Cola after it was all done. But anyways, we donated blood and worked out for the better. Next slide, please. Go ahead, Ron.
This is one of the villages we went to. That we're there in support of the African pastors. And during prayer time, we're just praying along with the pastors.
Yeah, and this, again, was another one of those villages on Wednesday. And miraculously, we ended up on the same bench because we try to mingle in with the Africans. And I just let them know that we're friendly and there to help. Tires. It's funny, every village we went to, they do not throw tires away. They become benches, feeding troughs, whatever. So recycling, yeah, they're big in tire recycling. Next slide, please.
Because of COVID, we had to go back down to Lome, which is about an 8 to 9 hour drive because the highways are not, to U.S. standards. So the average speed is about 35 miles an hour. And down there, we stayed at a hotel that is on the beach. So once we had our COVID test, we had to wait 3 days because, again, it's within 72 hours. So there's not much else to do as far as ministry work while we're down there. So we went, a couple days on the beach, and here we're just cooling off.
And we felt, Brian and I both felt bad about this, sitting on the beach. We're supposed to be over in Africa doing work. Well, we had to stay here, and I actually got sunburned on this trip, but there's nothing like floating out in the Atlantic Ocean. It was different, definitely different. Water was like bath.
Next slide.
Oh, yeah, there we are. It was kind of comical, too, because the security guard for the area, the motel we were staying at, I was out there floating, and I'm starting to get a crowd on the beach wondering what was going on. I guess they don't go out and float in the water. So he had to run them off. And then after I done that and come in to rest, there were some Egyptians and some, I think there were Lebanese that were vacationing there, and they were out floating around. So it drew quite the crowd. Kind of comical. Next slide, please.
I told Darren I was going to use this as a recruitment slide, you know, trying to get new people to come to Togo and help them. And I just want to point out that it isn't all, you know, pleasure and leisure on the beach. Here's Garen making Matt and I pull this water tank around the yard because the burls were not available to pull it.
They went on strike.
And he did have a whip in his hand.
I was a good donkey, Don. Ron got whipped. Next slide. So here's the hippos that are in the lake near us. There's a reserve up there, and you don't ever want to run into one of these things. They can outrun you. And so we use this for our last slide of the video. And that's our Togo trip in 2020. Ron, you got anything else to add to it?
We'd ask if there's any questions, but there's nobody here present to ask. So if you got any questions, you can ask us next time you see us.
Yeah. And again, thank you for your prayers. If it wasn't for your prayers, it would not have went as smooth as it did. And I'm telling you, from the step in the LA airport to we got back home, everything went just like clockwork. And thank you very much for your prayers.